It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
You want to know what I fear? It's the calamity. Because of the lack of coordination of the government with the National Guard and with local government, the lack of responsiveness and preparedness of this government, because the president, he wants to find out who is the one that wrote that op-ed piece about the chaos in the White House, because he wants the Justice Department. He is so consumed by the calamity that exists and the chaos that exists that he's not really prepared and focused, because he spends every weekend golfing.
That was Luis Gutierrez, the congressman from Illinois, who I'm very familiar with, the socialist, communist Luis Gutierrez, who Paul Ryan loves and traveled around the country with to advocate for, you know, immigration reform. And Sandy Rios with you this morning. We're going to start with that because you can see where this is headed. We've got Hurricane Florence hurtling toward the coasts of various states, and you hear it every time you turn on the television. The reason I don't talk about these weather things very much is because heaven knows you hear about it everywhere else, even if you don't want to. And they love to whip you into a frenzy. Not that you shouldn't be concerned, but you can find it other places, and I don't talk about it too much. By the way, Hurricane Florence has been downgraded a bit, but I think they're still expecting, you know, pretty hard hit on the coasts. But anyway, I'm not a weather person, but that's the part I want to communicate. But the other thing I want to communicate is Luis Gutierrez saying, the president basically says in another clip, the president is just too lazy. He's playing golf all the time. And Luis Gutierrez is worried about catastrophe because the Trump administration is so inept. You see where this is going. The Washington Post, even before the storm has even hit the coast or before it was downgraded sometime in the last 24 hours, the editorial board wrote an article for the Washington Post declaring that President Trump is complicit or Hurricane Florence. And this is part of what they said. Another hurricane is about to batter our coast. Trump is complicit. When it comes to extreme weather, Mr. Trump is complicit. He plays down humans' role in increasing the risks, and he continues to dismantle efforts to address those risks. It is hard to attribute any single weather event to climate change, but there is no reasonable doubt that humans are priming the Earth's systems to produce disasters. And it goes on and on and on, of course. So they're hoping, of course, to capitalize on what they did with Hurricane Katrina when they hung that around President Bush's neck like an albatross and beat him to death for years thereafter, as though he was responsible for the breaking of the dam and for the hurricane itself. This is what the left loves to do. So just be prepared. They would love to repeat that. And speaking of, you know, climate change and blaming the president, John Kerry is saying, he's out saying now that he thinks he would like to sue the president over all the people that are going to die because of climate change. Could I just interject, just because I'm assuming sometimes and don't explain, you know what? There is a God who is omnipotent, a creator of the universe, who is so vast we can barely comprehend 1/1,000,000th of who he is. He's the one who set the stars in place and the earth on its orbit. And he is the one who controls storms. It isn't people. It's like an ant deciding that they can control their environment when a human comes along and steps on them. God is the human and we are the ants. I'm not saying God's going to step on us. He can if he wants. Because we are powerless. We are powerless to control the weather. It's so silly. Only a people who don't believe in God could become so silly. But that's what you see with Luis Gutierrez and the Washington Post. It is silliness. Man cannot determine the weather. It has always changed. Climate has always changed. It just has. I just felt the need to interject that for those of you that, you know, listen, and I know you do, some of you who disagree with me on everything, and I'm glad you're listening, but you just need to know that there is a God. And that's one of the big differences in the way we look at life and we look at these issues, because I do believe in God. I trust Him. I've got a lot of years to verify the truth of His Word in my own personal life. So the good news is that you can know Him too, and you don't have to worry about these things so much if you genuinely are worried. Anyway, I want to, John Kerry, you know, I talked a lot about John McCain when he died week before last. Didn't say great things about him because I have never been a fan since I found out what his real true record was in Vietnam. But there was another person that I held in disdain and still do, and that's John Kerry, who was the head of the Department of State. And so Kerry has now been traveling all over the world, you know, interceding to try to tell European Union, the Iranians, that just hold on. Iran has been hit really hard by the sanctions that the president has imposed. Iran is probably our greatest global, well, besides Russia, there's a lot of global threats, so I can't say that. Iran has probably done us more real damage, though, in terms of developing IEDs, soldiers who've been wounded, you probably know some of them who've lost legs, supporting terrorists around the globe. They have been a dangerous force, and the Obama administration, along with John Kerry, gave them billions and billions of dollars in cash and other helps, did everything to help them flourish. And President Trump is reversing that. So John Kerry's traveling around the world talking to the Iranians. By the way, I believe it's his daughter who married an Iranian, a high-ranking Iranian. Now, John's very connected with the Iranians and has a vested interest, I'm sure, in every way, economically and otherwise. So he's doing his dead level best to tell the Iranians to hang on, because we're going to get rid of Trump and then you won't have to worry about these nasty sanctions. That's John Kerry, who the coward from Vietnam himself. I can't get off into that right now, but he has a record of this. If you think I'm exaggerating my feelings about John Kerry, Ari Fleischer was the press secretary for George W. Bush, and most of the Bush supporters cannot stand Donald Trump. They really can't. And I don't know how Ari feels about Donald Trump, but this is what he said last night about John Kerry. Let's listen.
Legislators have a very different job than secretaries of state or former secretaries of state. Legislators talk. It's what they do. Diplomats negotiate. And this is the question. What was John Kerry doing? What was he saying? What were the specifics? I don't think it was general. I think he was giving Iran advice about how to wait out President Trump. And the biggest problem here is Donald Trump is really fixing things in the Middle East, especially when it comes to the two biggest failures of the Iran deal. One is it didn't address funding of terrorists, which Iran has gotten away with. In fact, we paid them to fund terrorism. And secondly, it did nothing about Iran's conventional missile threat. And if John Kerry is out giving advice to Iran about how to maneuver around what Donald Trump is doing, it's insidious. I don't know if it's legal or illegal. I don't care about that side of it. It's wrong. We should support whatever administration is there as Americans, and then take your opposition out domestically on our soil to oppose Donald Trump if you oppose it.
On the policy.
All right. You remember, okay, Ari Fleischer, do you remember when the Justice Department official, Sally Yates, went after General Flynn for allegedly breaking the Logan Act, as he was the incoming National Security Director and he was talking with the Russians in his capacity? The president was already, Trump was already the nominee, and General Flynn was talking to foreign leaders, including Russian leaders. They recorded his phone call and then accused him of breaking or breaching the Logan Act, which had never been enforced. I think it was written in like 1700-something. And the idea was that private citizens didn't go negotiate with foreign governments in a way that would hurt the interests of the nation or undermine the current people that were in power. And so they made such a big deal of that. It was a silly thing. It was a silly thing, but because apparently people don't know. So they made General Flynn sound like a villain when he had every right to do what he did was lawful. What John Kerry is doing, he does not have a right to do that. He's not an elected official. He's not an incoming official. He's a former Secretary of State, and he's trying to undermine President Trump on the negotiations with Iran, They are really hurting Iran's government right now, which is a good thing. The Ayatollahs have ruled with an iron thumb. The Iranians tried to rise up and rebel, and they were murdered in the streets. That's the one Arab Spring incident that President Obama didn't interfere in. It was a natural response of people who want to be free. And so now President Trump is trying to help those people that want to be free, and John Kerry is over there doing the best he can to stop that. You can see how dangerous and how the rules don't apply to the left. I want to get to something else. Speaking of President Trump and his defenders, I saw, I don't know how I missed this. It's not a new interview, but I just went back. I want you to hear this. This is Mitch McConnell, Speaker Mitch McConnell, Leader Mitch McConnell, with Brett Baer on Fox News. I want you to listen to the questions that Brett asks. This is right after the anonymous editorial, whatever, piece, letter came out in the Washington Post. And I want you to listen to how Mitch McConnell answers Brett Baer's questions. Just listen carefully, then I'll talk about it. Here it is.
First, I want to ask you about this anonymous op-ed in the New York Times titled, "I'm Part of the Resistance Inside the Trump Administration," said to be a senior Trump administration official, adding, quote, in this op-ed, "It may be cold comfort in this chaotic era, but Americans should know that there are adults in the room. We fully recognize what is happening, and we are trying to do what's right, even when Donald Trump won't." Your thoughts on this?
Well, I had not seen this piece until your setup at the beginning of this show, so therefore I really have nothing to say about it, other than I think it's important for the American people to know if you're one of the American people who are right of center, it's been an extraordinarily productive Congress, from Supreme Court justices, circuit judges, regulatory changes, tax reform. We've had an extraordinarily accomplished Congress. And that's what our meeting down at the White House was about, finishing up this year's fiscal year business.
Right. And you did meet with the president today, with House Speaker Paul Ryan. This op-ed suggests that despite his leadership style, these successes are happening. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's been a good team. Yeah, the president has been interested in the things that we wanted to pursue. We've been on the same wavelength on all of those issues, taxes, regulations, Supreme Court justices, circuit judges, all of those issues. We've been in the same place. He signed them into law. And I said, if you're an American out there who prefers the country right of center, there hadn't been a better Congress in the time I've been in the Senate.
Last thing on this, are you worried that there are people inside this administration that are essentially trying to bring this president down?
Look, my job is to try to achieve as much for the American people as I can. You know, these Republican governments don't come along very often. Not many Americans know this, but you can go back 100 years. Only 20 of the 100 years did the Republican Party have the White House, the House, and the Senate at the same time. We don't want to squander that opportunity. I think we've done a lot for the American people, and we're going to do a lot more before the end of the year.
Thank you, Leader McConnell. Man, you can just tell he's got President Trump's back, don't you? And that he's got your back? Really? Okay, so Brett Baer asks him, you know, he talks about this anonymous article, and he says, "I had not seen that. I have said not seen that piece until your opening." Now, I can tell you, after having worked for Fox for 8 years as a contributor, you never go to that studio without being briefed on everything you're going to talk about. They want to know what you're going to say, and they're going to tell you what they're going to ask you. So I don't know if Mitch McConnell just didn't do his homework or he just didn't want to see that article, but he cannot possibly be telling the truth about not knowing about that article. And so when he's asked if he's concerned about, somebody in the White House undermining the president, his answer, "My job is to do the best for the American people." Then he goes on to brag every time that Brett asks him about the president, about what the Congress has accomplished and how it's the best in his lifetime since he's been in the Congress. I can tell you it has been disgraceful what the Senate has done under Mitch McConnell. They hardly work. They work about 2 days a week. And when it comes to judicial appointments, the truth is they are so far behind. And when it comes to the presidential appointments of all the agencies, they are slow walking, slow rolling just about everything. That's one of the reasons why we're in the shape we're in. I want to talk about the 2018 elections when we return. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Good news. You are not stuck with your health care plan. Really. You have a choice, and it's a great one. It's called MediShare, and if you've heard about it and wondered what exactly it is, it's a way that people share their healthcare bills, and these are people who have a common faith, who want to be part of something beautiful that not only meets their healthcare needs, but the needs of others, too. And it's people who love to save money, big time. MediShare members typically save $500 a month per family on their healthcare costs. That is a life changer for people. So this could be for you. Maybe it's what you've been looking for, a way to pay healthcare bills that's not only very smart financially, but it's even profound. MediShare is a nonprofit with 400,000 members nationwide who pray for and share with each other. So yes, you're not stuck. There's another way, and it could save you a lot. Hit *345 to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. Message and data rates may apply. That's *345.
What if I told you that you could clean your family's laundry and help reach the next generation at the same time? That opportunity is here through a company called Redeem Clean. Every time you use Redeem Clean products, you help support the ministry of the American Family Association. In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean laundry detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made in the USA. And they were developed exclusively for the support of the American Family Association. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and order Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
California Democrats declared war on one of the most popular hamburger chains on the West Coast. Journalist Gabe Schneider discovered In-N-Out Burger donated tens of thousands of dollars to the Republican Party. In-N-Out is based in California, owned by a Christian family, known for posting Bible verses on their burger wrappers, and they have a cult following. It's fair to say In-N-Out is to beef what Chick-fil-A is to poultry. Eric Bowman, the chairman of the California Democratic Party, is calling for a boycott. Said In-N-Out, owned by a bunch of creeps. So what? Now it's a crime for business owners to back pro-business Republicans? Democrats should tread carefully here, folks. I stood with Chick-fil-A during the Great Poultry War of 2012, and I'm proud to stand alongside In-N-Out Burger. The most effective way to fight back is to eat more beef, California. With apologies to the Chick-fil-A cows, of course. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
President Donald Trump not finished commenting on the New York Times anonymous op-ed. He made some statements earlier, but now just tweeting one word with a question mark. Treason, obviously referring to whoever wrote that op-ed. We're here with the Senate Majority Leader. Treason?
I don't have any observation to make on this episode.
But last thing, I mean, for someone to write and to be quoted in Bob Woodward's book and to then write someone else, perhaps, the root of the problem is the president's amorality. Is that a problem for this administration?
Look, I would like the American people to judge the results that we've achieved in the last 2 years, and we're not through. And I'd like to focus on our accomplishments, of which I think there are an enormous number.
No chance government shutdown.
No chance of a government shutdown?
Zero.
Zero.
Inspiring. I have never understood how much. Yes, I do. He's crazy like a crazy. Smart like a fox. Knows the procedure. But the people of Kentucky, I guess you have continued to give us a man who brings a lot of money back to your state, but has not done the country well. That's all I can say. And so here we are faced with a 2018 election. And it's an interesting situation because conservatives then are, I think, muted in their enthusiasm. The left is extremely enthusiastic. In fact, there is one poll that shows the Democrats are leading by 14 points on a generic House ballot. Now, I would say this. This is a Quinnipiac poll. And when you look down to see who's been polled, it's 1,038 adults. Now, see, that's not a good poll for an election. An election, what you want to look for in a rational poll or one that's trustworthy, is likely voters, not just adults, because it's a very different result, and it's not a meaningful result if it's just random calls to various adults, because you don't know if they're citizens. It doesn't even say what they're. Let's see. I don't even know. You know, you don't know if they're voters or anything. So that's not exactly a trustworthy poll. But we do know that other polls are showing that the Democrats, and we can see it, that the enthusiasm is up a great deal. I think a lot of conservative voters are motivated, but they're muted. They're upset by what they're seeing. They're upset by the antics at the Kavanaugh hearing. They're upset by the lies. The Maxine Waters statements that she's going to get the president. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. And you hear the irrationality of Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, you know, bragging about being Spartacus, which is just ridiculous. And yet people take this stuff seriously. And we also see the gains that President Trump has made in policy. Amazing gains. Honestly, I have never in my lifetime seen a president accomplish so much in so little time. And we know that if the 2018 midterms are lost, it will become almost immediately, it will be reversed. The things that the president has done. I just saw this morning that, let's see, what is this? The middle class income rose above $61,000 for the first time. That's what the U.S. Census Bureau says. And also that we have become the number one producer of crude oil. We are beating Saudi Arabia. And let's see, we are the largest global producer of crude oil. And that's because the restrictions have been lifted and because the president is pro-business. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, there's nothing wrong. We want some security for our homes and for our families. I divide that. I separate that from greed, where you just want to enrich yourself. There's nothing wrong with wanting security. We don't, our lives don't. Our goal is to be like the Apostle Paul, that whether we are in need or whether we have plenty, we can handle it, and we just trust God. There's nothing wrong with wanting the economy to be stable, and again, wanting to know that your kids, when they grow up, they'll have a chance for jobs, to buy homes. I don't think God has an ill feeling toward us for that. I think He wants us to be. He wants to love on us and provide for us. And that's how He does it, through governments, you know. Romans 13 tells us that God lays in power government and secular authorities for our benefit, for our welfare, to keep the peace, to establish order. God is a God of order. So anyway, I digress, and then that gets me in trouble. I want to talk to you about the elections. You know, let me just give you a quick rundown of what we're seeing. Marsha Blackburn is up by 3 points in Tennessee. Now, this is the Senate. The Senate is in better shape than the House, if you're a conservative, for sure. But it's tight. All of these races are tight. At this point, it looks like Marsha Blackburn is up 3 points over Phil Bredesen. If you were to look at the breakdown of voters, Blackburn is up 15 points among men. 15 points among whites, 35 points among white evangelical Christians. Bredesen is preferred by 9 points among women, 10 points among voters under age 45, and 61 points among non-whites. Now, why does it have to be that way? I don't know. I look forward to the day when we're just all Americans. But anyway, Claire McCaskill is up in Missouri by 3 percentage points over Josh Hawley. Josh is preferred, again, by suburban women support McCaskill by 14 points. White evangelical Christians prefer Hawley by 34. President Trump is going to go to Missouri real soon. I think maybe even this week, next week maybe. I'm not sure. Someday soon. And lobby and do a rally for Josh Hawley. In Arizona, Martha McSally's behind Kyrsten Sinema by 3 percentage points. Someone told me that Kyrsten Sinema is, the way she's advertising, she's not even, you know what, that's not the right person. I'm thinking of a person in Virginia. I'll get to that in just a second. So that's Arizona. And then in North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp is behind Kevin Cramer. Kevin is the Republican, Heidi the Democrat. She is behind him by 4 percentage points. And so that's, and then in Indiana, Joe Donnelly is behind Mike Braun by 2 percentage points. Well, that's, of course, these things are so close. There are so many factors. This is certainly not a safe place to be if you're running in those races. In Texas, of course, Ted Cruz has a run for his money by Beto O'Rourke. And I just want to stop on this race, if I just could for a second. This is from Belinda. This email from Belinda. She says, most municipalities in Texas have laws about when you can put out campaign signs, usually 60 days. The O'Rourke campaign has violated those local ordinances. Ted Cruz signs will appear magically on September 6th, though. Be interesting to know if they have appeared. Belinda is active with the Bell County Tea Party. And so she says they're clamoring for signs. But Ted Cruz, of course, is in the race of his life. And I want you to kind of get an idea. I'm going to take some time here for a second. Beto O'Rourke is his opponent. Beto, of course, is not his real name. He's actually very Irish, I think third-generation Irish. And you might wonder, well, Ted Cruz is so powerful and he's so good on the issues in Texas. How could he be so close and running to this Beto O'Rourke? Well, Beto was on who was he on with? He was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And I'm just going to take a second because I want you to hear this is what the left is doing all over the country. Beto is left of the left in terms of his positions. And if you listen carefully to what he says in this conversation with Stephen Colbert, you can hear this, but he is so pleasant and winsome. So let's listen. Beto O'Rourke with Stephen Colbert.
You're already a congressman from Texas. What part of Texas do you represent?
El Paso, Texas.
The border town.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The West Texas town of El Paso.
That's right.
Immigration is a very hot issue in border security right now. How are you on the wall?
We don't need a wall.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So El Paso, this town that I was born and raised in, where Amy and I are raising Ulysses and Molly and Henry, happens to be one of, if not the safest cities in the United States of America. And what makes us so safe is that we are a city of immigrants and we treat one another with respect and dignity. I think that's fundamental to security, to success, to safety.
Do you want to see the Dreamers protected?
Absolutely.
Chuck Schumer was willing to trade President Trump the wall for the Dream Act. Would you take that deal?
No, I wouldn't. And I think the people of Texas can lead on this. I'll give you an example. Republican Senior Senator John Cornyn and I worked on a bill to improve border security by investing in our ports of entry. So facilitating more legitimate trade and travel and having a better idea of who and what is coming in to our country. We don't need walls. We can have smart security solutions and we can free dreamers from the fear of deportation by making them U.S. citizens today so that they can contribute to their maximum capacity, to their full potential. And we can move forward in that manner of making sure that we're secure, but making sure that we live up to our values and our ideals. And Texas, the defining border state and immigration experience, we should lead on that. Democrats, Republicans, independents alike coming together. And as we've traveled the 254 counties of Texas, we have heard that. We should be able to lead on that.
Okay, so that's the first part of it. So what has he said so far? You can hear how winsome he is. And when you see him speak, you know, it's like fetching. And you sometimes it's kind of like Barack Obama. You don't really necessarily listen to what he's saying. You're so like enthralled with his personality. Reminds me of other politicians, which I won't go through that long list. But of course, Beto O'Rourke is Robert Francis O'Rourke. I think he's a third generation Irishman. He talks about we are a city of immigrants. He's not an immigrant. And he talks about dreamers should be protected. You know, I wish he had been with me last week when I was at Radio Row And I was interviewing angel moms who lost their children murdered by illegal immigrants. And one of them asked me, it was Agnes, who was born in Hungary. She said, what about our children's dreams? My only son is dead. And he had dreams. But Beto, of course, is like the left. All the dreamers should be given citizenship immediately because they should be able to pursue their hopes and their dreams. We need to make them citizens today. We need to follow our values and our ideals. And no, we don't need a wall. And our city is just perfectly peaceful because we are a city of immigrants. I'm not sure how that conflates. I'm not sure how that exactly works out for Robert Francis O'Rourke. But that's his, people love hearing that, even though it may not be quite true. Here's the next part of the interaction.
Now that the three polls in a row now have found you guys, you and Cruz, and essentially within the margin of error, it's very close right now. Trump says he will campaign for Cruz despite the fact that they just despise each other.
Right.
Is it surreal to see enemies joining forces against you?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. But I'm convinced that the people of Texas, and that's who we're relying on. No PACs, no corporations, no special interests, no DNC. The people of Texas are more than a match for President Trump or for politics as usual. We've gone to all these counties. We've held town halls in all of them. We've listened to people. And people are coming out at this moment of truth. They're going to help us decide as a country, are we a nation of walls? Will we ban all Muslims or all people of one religion? Will we describe the press as the enemy of the people? Will we take kids away from their parents when they're trying to claim asylum, fleeing from the most brutal countries in this hemisphere, if not the planet? Or are we going to be defined by our ambitions, the big things that we want to do, going from the least insured state in the country to the one that leads on universal, guaranteed, high-quality health care for everyone, a state that values public education and pays their teachers accordingly and allows them to teach to a child instead of a standardized test? In this diverse state, the most diverse city in the country, Houston, Texas, could we lead on rewriting our immigration laws in our own image, reflecting our experiences? We can do all of those things. We are running not against anyone or anything or any other political party. We are running for this country, and I'm so excited to be a part of it.
Thank you so much for being here.
So in the midst of that, excuse me, free health care for all? Free health care for all. Texas should lead the way. Oh, legalize the dreamers immediately. No wall. We also know that, of course, he loves Colin Kaepernick's kneeling during the national anthem. He says it is the American thing to do. And there are more things that Robert Francis O'Rourke has said. But you can see now why Ted Cruz is up against something. He also talked about no special interest money. Really? You know, my understanding is that he has raised millions from out of state. That there are definitely forces aligned to get Robert Francis O'Rourke elected in the Texas Senate race. All right. You know what? We're going to open the phone lines. I have lots of comments from you, and I want to get to those, plus I want to talk to you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Certainly, I think talking about the elections is important, and we can do that. But if there's something else relevant to things we've been talking about lately, I'm certainly open to talking about that too. 888-589-8840. Let me just tell you, this is on the Virginia 7 race with Dave Bratt. This is from Charlotte, who was with the Goochland Tea Party. Abigail Spanberger is the opponent for Dave Bratt. And Charlotte says Abigail doesn't put any sign of that she's a Democrat on any of her signs or TV ads. The signs are light blue and white. And she said this seems to be the tactic of the left, is that the Democrats will choose someone who's on the hard left. They don't identify. They play down party distinctions. And they don't talk about what they really believe, although Beto just did, didn't he? But he says it so nicely. You go, yeah, that's right. We don't need walls. Well, of course we should pay for everyone's health care. Gosh, he's right. Yeah, so that's kind of the way it works. And that's what's, by the way, Abigail worked for John Brennan at the CIA. We know that. We know that she worked at the Saudi Academy, one of the radical academies in Northern Virginia. So there's a lot to say about that race, too. All right, I'm going to go, and then I'm going to come back and talk to you. 888-589-8840, Sandy Rios in the morning.
Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. the fruit of the womb, a reward. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts signed a state budget that eliminates federal Title X family planning funding to Planned Parenthood of the Heartland. The $8.8 billion two-year budget would prohibit money to facilities that commit, promote, or refer clients for abortions. The budget also mandates health clinics in the state to legally, financially, and physically separate from abortion facilities. So Planned Parenthood's bloody hands can be wrenched from the taxpayers' money when a legislature and an executive leader are willing. Congress, are you listening?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Why did Muslims strike the United States on 9/11? Here are some clues. In 1565, Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent tried to invade Spain, Italy, and Rome, but he got stopped by the Knights of Malta on September 11, 1565. In 1683, Sultan Mehmed IV and 138,000 Muslim Turks surrounded Vienna, Austria. Polish King Jan Sobieski launched a surprise attack which defeated the Muslims on September 11, 1683. Muslims dominated Belgrade, Serbia from 1521 until Prince Eugene of Savoy and the Holy League liberated Belgrade on September 11, 1697. Muslims attacked us on 9/11 to remove the bitter taste of defeat at the hands of the Christian West. Unless we are prepared and alert, they will strike us again.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. 25 years ago today, Yasser Arafat fraudulently promised to make peace with Israel in the Oslo Accords. President Trump is determined to stop rewarding the Palestinians for failing to do so. Over their strenuous objections and threats, Mr. Trump moved the U.S. Embassy in Israel to its capital, Jerusalem. He cut taxpayer funding of the U.N. refugee agency that has encouraged and enabled the Palestinians' victimhood narrative, intransigence, and jihadism. And he just shut down their influence operations headquarters in Washington. The president is shattering the myths that the Palestinians' cause is the region's most important problem and must be resolved on their terms or risk a wider war. This new reality ought to induce the Palestinians at last to end their futile and costly conflict with an Israel that wants nothing more than to be left alone in security and peace. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, Sandy Rios back with you. Yes, to your email and your Facebook posts. I do read them. I just don't respond to hardly any of them. So I just want you to know, only just because I don't have the time. I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and write and express your thoughts and to share with me and just let me know who you are and where you are. That's really very rewarding. So thank you. And please don't think again that I don't read them, because I do. Let me just read a couple before we go to the phones. This is fun. This is from Edward. He says, I'm a traveling insurance salesman out in the boondocks today, driving along, and I caught your show on my radio. First, I didn't know who you were or what to make of it, but then as I heard you speak, Well, he says very kindly, I was very impressed. And he said, you were talking about John McCain's funeral. I appreciate your commentary. Great show. Thank you for all you do. And again, that's from Edward, and he's from Morgantown, West Virginia. Edward, thank you so much. That's so kind. This is from MS. He says, I get off work at 6 and stay awake until 8 to hear your thoughts on the day's news, and I'm always informed and blessed. Thank you, MS. I know you write often. MS is a really good writer. He says, knowing that John McCain, who we talked about quite a bit last week, held an obsessive hatred of Donald Trump and was in the 2016 a founding member of the Mueller conspiracy to overturn the 2016 presidential elections, it seems appropriate that McCain was the first casualty of this conspiracy, of which there will be many. And then he writes, God is not a man that he should lie, and he has promised to bless the man and the nation that favors and blesses his people. And he said, no man in history has favored and blessed Israel or the Church of Jesus Christ more than President Trump has done in only 18 months. And I don't believe the Lord will abandon Mr. Trump to the cadre of evil men and women who seek his destruction. Well, we'll see. I don't think God will abandon him. We don't know what his private thoughts are and his relationship with God, but we're all watching and hoping and praying that justice will be done. No question about that. This is from Lisa. She says, I'm in Texas and was so concerned about the lack of Ted Cruz signs in my Dallas neighborhood. So I was the first one in my neighborhood to put one up 2 months ago. She said, in regard to Beto, I told my family we need to start the message calling him a fake Mexican. I'm Mexican, so I have no problem calling him out. And then the last one I want to read is, I'm not going to do this justice, but Josh is a liberal. He tells me that. He writes to me all the time. Josh, I'm always honored to hear from you, even when you insult me. Because I know you're just, look, you're a young guy. I think Josh is a professor, very smart, but just doesn't know what he doesn't know. I've said that to him before. I'll say it again. So he says, I think I just heard you say that you don't know of a single example of the U.S. making it harder for minorities and young people to vote. As you're so fond of saying, are you kidding me? And then he talks about the five justices in the Supreme Court tearing up the Voting Rights Act. Talks about there being fewer polling places as a result of that. And he said, if you can't get to the polling place, it makes it harder to vote. If you have to work several jobs, don't have time to drive further, you're not going to do it. If you restrict early voting times and make it a process to get an absentee ballot or deny felons who have served their time the right to vote, you lower turnout, especially amongst people you think will vote against you. Josh, there's so much to say about that. Let me just say that that's what... I can't verify your facts, not in the time that I have here, so I don't know about closing down 868 fewer voting places. But, you know, voting should not be easy. This is what you say. I don't think so. I really don't think so. And, you know, the Constitution actually dictates the day and the day that we're supposed to be going to the polls. This whole notion of early voting and extending everything, that's a new manifestation. Some people don't think it's constitutional. I actually think it is. I don't know what the answer is, but I think we've gotten way too loose about it. I think voting is a privilege, and you should go to every effort to vote if you're going to vote. He talks about New Hampshire has passed a law that creates significant barriers to college students voting. Oh, I didn't mention, you really want felons to vote, Josh? Really? You know, that they've lost their right to vote when they commit a felon. We have to have some sort of punishment for crime. You do understand that, right? And that's one of them. And in New Hampshire, he talks about significant barriers to college students voting. We've had a problem, Josh, with college students voting in two states. That I think was probably the origin. I don't know this particular bill, but that's been a problem. So you know, I'm going to tell you something, isn't it? You'll love this. I actually don't think college students should vote at all. I really don't. I don't think you should vote till you're 21. I don't think you know enough. You're as grounded as you need to be until you are just a little bit older and take on some responsibilities. That's my personal view, so I'm not offended by that. And then Josh says, there's almost no evidence of any voter fraud. Well, really? Now, Josh, you must have missed the shows that I've done with J. Christian Adams, who has founded the Public Interest Legal Foundation. I'll let you look up that to find out that you're not right about that. There is voter fraud, especially by illegal immigrants, and especially as a result of automatic registration when you get your driver's license, which is something that Josh thinks is wonderful. He tells me that here. You know, I don't have enough time. He talks about sources. He says, I'm sorry, I'm laughing, Josh, because He says, please educate yourself by looking for news from objective sources. NPR, The New York Times, The Washington Post, The Wall Street Journal, The New Yorker. Let me just tell you two, because I don't have time for all of this. The last time I was on NPR, it was NPR Boston. I was halfway through talking about, I don't even remember the topic, but it was something not that long ago. They quickly cut me off. Well, not rudely. They said goodbye and finished the sentence, but there was no way they were going to keep me on because they control the flow of information. If you think NPR is objective, you're just so wrong. You're just wrong. And I've been in the media for so long, Josh, you should actually listen to me. New York, I'll just do this other one, The New Yorker. You're telling me that's an objective, wonderful source. I'm not even talking about The Washington Post and Bob Woodward's many fabricated stories through the years. He's the big kahuna, the legendary writer from The Washington Post. Don't tell me. If you didn't hear my interview with Diana West yesterday, you should go back and listen to that about what The Washington Post has done, and that's just a microcosm. The New Yorker, I was interviewed by a writer in The New Yorker. It wasn't just me. It was a long, I'm not going to get into details. Let's just say it was regarding another organization. And it was in a meeting. And this writer wrote what he heard in the meeting. And he attributed to me something really bad that I never said. I never said it had to do with my feelings about Jews in Israel. He was a Jewish writer. He lied totally. And I wrote to him. I wrote him personally. I said, you know, I never said that. I never said that. But, you know, no one ever knows that. But I'm telling you now, Josh, so when you tell me about these objective sources, I'm sorry. I know a little bit about that. All right, I want to go to the phones. Let's go to Eric in Texas. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. So what's on your mind?
Oh, not much. I've been hearing you talking about Beto and Ted Cruz, and I can just tell you right now, I'm not voting for either one of them. In fact, I'm skipping out and voting because I'm done with the two-party system basically being the same and bankrupting this country. That's basically all I can say.
Well, Eric, now let's just say you don't vote. Do you have any concern about the outcome of the 2018 midterms? You think it's just going to, the next day you're going to wake up and it's all going to be, do you have a job? And family?
Yes, I do have a job. And the problem is, Sandy, I have to have two jobs because of spending the government's doing bankrupting this country.
Yeah.
Inflation's up, and I'm struggling big time. And I make over $20 an hour, Sandy.
You know, Eric, I'm not... Listen, do you ever hear me criticizing the Republicans? Just asking. Do you ever know that I kind of do that? But I have to say, yeah, you know I do. And but now the economy, you're not seeing other job opportunities now where you could have like one job with benefits. Is that not available to you?
It's not available. Yeah, it's available. The problem is I'm not a minority. Plain and simple. And that's the thing, Sandy. Yeah. Both parties spend out of control. And all I keep hearing is, well, if we don't get this side, everything's going to change. It's going to get worse. Well, I'm sorry. Regardless of Republican or Democrat, nothing changes, Sandy. It's not changed since 1992.
Well, I disagree with you that nothing has changed. I think a lot has changed in this last 2 years. I don't give McConnell or the Senate a credit for that, for sure. But I would just say, Eric, just be cautious because you have to keep the big picture in mind. And the big picture is that there is a lot at stake. Honestly, I do think that certainly when it comes to the economy, manufacturing and jobs, and I think it's the future is pretty bright. And God willing, it will brighten your personal prospects as well. I do hear what you're saying. But I think you have to keep it. A lot of times, you know, we vote based on our interest groups vote for their interests. And limit it to that. Now, you're not that. And I'm not accusing you of being a selfish person at all. I'm not saying that. But what you don't want to do is vote based on just how things affect you personally. You just must have a bigger view of this. When it comes to national security, you know, your family, at least think about that. And when it comes to securing the border, when it comes to the fact that you feel like a minority in your own geographical era, it's going to matter who wins the election. in regard to that, into illegal immigration. So just think big picture, Eric, and I would encourage you, don't stay home. But just hold your nose and vote for the candidate that you think at least votes for the principles that most closely align with yours. And I don't think you'll be sorry you did that. And I wish I had more time to talk to you, but I've got to go. Let's go to Antoine in Oklahoma. Good morning, Antoine.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make observation about the op-ed.
Yeah.
I think that's a conspiracy. I've known in churches and businesses where people will say things that people said just to throw the people off, to make their morale, to lower their morale, and also to divide and conquer, to make people look over their shoulder and say, I don't know what that person thinks about me. I think it was just fabricated. And I don't believe that, you know, I would speak with my friends and not believe what some anonymous person said that they said, because I don't believe that they really said it. That's all I had to say.
Yeah. Okay, Antoine. Well, that's interesting, because a lot of other people are saying that, too. I don't know. Some people are saying it might have been a composite of several people in the White House writing it. You know, after I listened to that interview with Brett Baer and Mitch McConnell, I thought maybe Mitch McConnell had written it, although he's not part of the Trump administration. But honestly, you can see for yourself and hear for yourself the resistance to Donald Trump's leadership. And it certainly is in the House leadership and in the Senate leadership. And we need to change that. That's why I pushed Jim Jordan so hard, because things would change if the Republicans should maintain control of the House and Jim Jordan should be elected speaker. I'm telling you, things would change. Let's go to John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Yes, how are you?
Good.
Okay, I got a few points I want to quickly make. The podcast from Abraham Hamilton's show yesterday with Mr. Blackwell talks about all the voter fraud. This other guy, O'Rourke, well, if you listen to what he said about Houston, he said, we're going to do it in our own image, that's the devil right there. And the other thing about El Paso, you can look across the river into, what's the name, the town there where they
find 300
bodies.
Isn't it Juarez?
300 bodies every year, and he's saying it never affected El Paso. That's absolutely not true.
Yeah.
You know, so you really have to, and the other gentleman that came on, Josh, I believe his name was, he doesn't have a Christian worldview, and he's got to remember what John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, what you can do for your country. He has to broaden his scope and his worldview and not be self-centered, because that's not going to help him in the long run.
John, that's a, man, what a powerful comment, and so much we could say, and no time to say it. Thank you, John from Tennessee. Sorry I couldn't get to the rest of your calls. But you know what? Next week, you know what? I'm going to promise right here, and Adam, you got to hold me to this. I'm going to open the phone lines for a whole show where we can just really talk about the elections coming up, because they're you know, it's less than 2 months away. And so much is happening, and you guys have so much information. And I love it. You help me to formulate my own thoughts about what's happening on the ground. All right, so I just appreciate you listening. You honor me with that. You honor me every single day. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.